Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to ReviewADay.ca. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, from ThisWeekInGeek.net, and most recently you can hear me on Toronto's Edge 102.1 and AM 640's Video Game Sophistry, where I review games much like I do here. Well, you might be wondering, where the hell have I been? Well, in the hospital, to be quite honest with you. Had a very big health scare late last week. Was briefly hospitalized for a potential blood clot in my lung. I'm fine now, but I was also sick before that with a flu / strep throat that I caught from my lovely wife, Blair. It was utter hell. Couldn't talk for a good chunk of that. Plus was bedridden. But on the bonus side, that did give me a lot of time to play video games. And that's what we're going to be talking about today here on Rad. We're going to be talking about my review, finally, of Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, coming to us from Konami on the Xbox One. This is a game that I've put over 140 hours into so far. And currently I'm sitting at about 82%. Completion. So, because the game has been out for almost a month now, there may be some very minor spoilers, and only in terms of numbers and content. I'm not going to spoil anything storyline-wise, because that's half the fun of Metal Gear, but I'll get to that as we progress through this particular episode. So, I got this, like I said, on the Xbox One, and my experience with this has been pretty good, minus a few technical glitches, which I don't know whether they've been able to fix in the most recent patches, but we'll talk about that. So the gameplay / storyline for The Phantom Pain. This game picks up about 9 years after Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, which was like more or less a playable demo that came out a couple years ago, or last year, I think, or whenever, which sort of set up the events for this game, where you basically go to Guantanamo Bay, rescue Chico and Paz from Peace Walker, because it was more of a direct sequel. Whereas this game picks up after Snake wakes up from the coma that he was put into at the end of Ground Zeroes, and he obviously wakes up, he's missing an arm, and he's trying to put all things back together as he rebuilds the mercenary unit, which has now been renamed into Diamond Dogs. And you've got Kaz Miller there, you got Ocelot, who is a fantastic character, I might add. And you play Punished Venom Snake now, rather than calling himself Big Boss. Well, I guess other people call him that, but he always goes by the weird code name. I don't know, it never makes any damn sense to me. So anyway, you have about 50 missions throughout the game. The game is split into two chapters. And it's no secret that there was a third chapter, but I guess it was cut during development. And as you progress through the storyline, it does become pretty evident, especially towards the end game, that, hey, that's a plot thread that's not been resolved, and that sucks. And you're kind of left scratching your head going, WTF? But, you know, it wouldn't be a Hideo Kojima game if you're not saying that at some point. So, basically, you're out there seeking revenge for what happened to you and your mercenary unit. You're going up against a guy called Skullface of the XOF, which is a hug and a kiss and a big FU, or I think that's what they describe it as. And it's, the game is kind of light on storyline, because one of the things about Metal Gear is there's always supposed to be these grand cutscenes that last, like, an hour. Here, 95% of the storyline is delivered via cassette tapes. So you can choose to listen to them, or you don't have to. You can just play this as a straight-up action game. And that's something to very importantly note about the gameplay in this. It's open world. Kind of like Grand Theft Auto in that regard, that you can pretty much do whatever you want, how you want, in pretty much whatever order. And normally the Metal Gear games punish you for not playing total stealth, like sneaking in and knocking people out, and you can do that if you want to. In fact, I did mostly stealth, trying to do as few kills as possible, or only kill when I know it was absolutely necessary. Or you can Rambo it. Literally, if you want to walk into the enemy base and fire off rocket launchers and machine guns, you can do that, and the game doesn't penalize you. In fact, it's quite fun to change up your tactics. Plus, you have a new buddy system in the game. There's a sniper you can get. There's a dog, which I highly recommend, and he's very easy to miss very early on. So if you hear the dog barking, look around, find him. Dee Dee will be your best friend. You also get your own personal metal gear called D-Walker, which is like this little mech you can ride around. And it's ridiculous. It has machine guns, flamethrowers, rocket launchers. It's stupid fun. Plus, you can change out how your loadout is before each mission. Kind of like how in Metal Gear 4 you had all these ridiculous amount of guns. Here you can also get that, and you can customize them once you complete a certain mission. You can also bring in vehicles. The Fulton recovery system, where you can kidnap enemy soldiers, makes an appearance here, which is very important because you'll have to rebuild your mercenary army. And that's a whole separate kind of game in and of itself. There's like a military management, I guess I'd call it a simulator, included in the game, which basically helps you develop new weapons, the abilities of your unit, how quickly people heal up, and you can send them out on missions. But I'll talk a little bit more about that a little later on. It seems like they finally got the control scheme down for this. CQC is no longer a huge pain in the ass. In fact, I rather enjoyed using it. It was just fun just to punch people and throw them to the ground or hold them up with like a knife to their throat and make them talk and whatever. It's just, it's a lot of fun. If I did have one complaint, I would say vehicles still handle kind of sloppy. I almost never use them, only when I absolutely had to. If I did use a vehicle, one of your other buddies is a horse, just called D-Horse, and you can ride them around. Random bits, as you raise your bond level, as you use the buddies more and more, it opens up more commands. You can make the horse poop. It'll screw up cars. If you poop in front of a car, the car will wipe out. So, there's a free tip for you. But it's a lot of fun in just how they've changed how you can approach missions. You can literally sit there and watch guard patrols, see how they change. Like, they change at night and in the morning. You can see enemy behaviors. They might go off for a nap. They might go to the bathroom. They might just sit there with their buddies and shoot the shit. As you use cardboard boxes, you can cover them in stickers and be like, hey, here's a hot, sexy chick, and they'll drool over the box. Stuff like that. There's so much to do in this game. Literally, it's the biggest and most ambitious Metal Gear it's ever been. Definitely the best gameplay of the series so far. Now, I want to talk about storyline for just a minute. If this is the final Metal Gear game, it does set up why Big Boss does what he does with the first Metal Gear game, where Solid Snake has to go to Outer Heaven and deal with Big Boss. But it also doesn't at the same time, if that makes any sense. I would say this is, it's a disappointing end of the series. If this is Hideo Kojima's last game in terms of Metal Gear, yeah, there's weirdness in this game. There's like, you see the flying kid from the trailers, the man on fire, Skullface. But there's not that many boss fights in this game. And in terms of weirdness, like, there's no real Beauty and the Beast unit from Metal Gear 4. There's no, like, Cobra unit, really, with, like, the end, the fury, the sadness, and all that. There's none of that here. And it's kind of shitty in that regard. But it's a good game. Gameplay-wise, like I said, it's tremendous. Storyline-wise, for the most part, it's okay, but it's the ending that'll leave you going, wait, that's it? But anyway. So let's talk about graphics. This game is gorgeous. My God, this game is amazing. Played this, like I said, on Xbox One. Looked great. You play in two separate locations. You play in Afghanistan and Africa. And just those little details. When you're running through the savannah and it starts raining, you can see your boot prints leave impressions in the mud. Soldiers can follow those, too. You see your, like, kind of clothes getting wet as you get shot, blood will appear on your uniform. If you get hurt really bad and you call in the chopper, you might be hooked up to a blood bag at some point. You can just notice little things like that here and there. Like the detail on the weapons, each soldier very rarely did I encounter the same face twice. It's really impressive in terms of all the things that they were able to accomplish with this game. And some of the character designs look neat. And, of course, everyone's going to talk about Quiet, which is the hyper-sexualized sniper chick who wears next to nothing. I think she looks cool. Obviously, I'm a red-blooded male, and yeah, she's hot. But I really like the way they gave her face some real personality to it. Very expressive. In fact, all the facial animations in this game look great. Like, amazingly lifelike. And there was never anything that was, like, wow, that looks like crap. Explosions look great at night. The lighting is amazing. Like, even just little differences in night and day can help you hide in the shadows or maybe give you an edge to sneak up on someone. You can even have, like, flashlights to blind people. Like, you know how you can have a flashlight on your gun? Finally, it serves a purpose. Stuff like that. And, like, the night vision effects. One of the fun things I like to do is sometimes I'll just find a nice hill to sit on in Africa, and I'll just watch a thunderstorm. And it's just, like I said, it's incredible just the amount of detail they put into this. And there's nothing really disappointing here. The only character design I don't like is kind of a spoiler, so I'm not going to mention it, but you have to recover people and bring them back to this person so they can remember what happened. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not a big fan of that particular design, I guess because I never cared for the character, but you'll know what I mean when you get there. Okay, let's talk about sound. Fantastic soundtrack in this game, other than, you know, the score that's included with it. Hideo Kojima put a lot of 80s music into it. There's friggin' Hall & Oates with Maneater, Europe's The Final Countdown's in there, The Cure's Friday, I'm in Love. You can find these cassette tapes everywhere, and you can listen to them in the game. Enemies can hear that, too. So one of the things I used to do is just loop the theme from Snake Eater, just because that's one of my favorite Metal Gear tracks of all time, outside of the intro theme to Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty. And the big elephant in the room, everyone wants to know, how does Kiefer Sutherland compare against David Hayter? And they're two separate entities. Punished Venom Snake and Solid Snake and Big Boss. I kind of prefer Kiefer Sutherland in this role, because I don't think David Hayter would really fit this, if that makes any kind of sense. And I know that's blasphemy. But, I don't know, just the way Snake delivers these lines, or Kiefer, rather, I know it's Kiefer Sutherland, I know it's Jack Bauer, but I never put the two together. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think, oh, that's Jack Bauer doing, like, oh, that's Snake. That's Kiefer Sutherland. And it's never really distracting. Big points go out, I think it was Troy Baker, who does Ocelot in this, who eventually becomes Revolver Ocelot, and, well, you see. However, though, during one of the cassette tapes you can get in the game, you get some background on some of these things. You find out why he's called Shalashaska, which is, I think, really kind of awesome. It's like a hybrid of Afghani and Russian. It's two words, and he gives you this huge explanation behind it. In fact, I'd say you get more dialogue out of him than anybody else in the game. Sure, you get some stuff out of Kiefer, but a lot of the supporting cast, like the guy that plays Kaz Miller and Ocelot, talk a lot more than Kiefer really does. And that's kind of a disappointment, because I think Kiefer could have had some real moments here. It's not that he doesn't have times to shine, but I really think Ocelot does a lot more than Snake in terms of performance. You also get the guy back who played Otacon, whose name escapes me, but I've interviewed him. He comes back as Huey Emmerich. And, yeah. Every soldier in the game also has their own voice, and they speak in different languages, too. You might run into Pashto if you're in Afghanistan. You might hear Russian. You actually have to kidnap interpreters to understand what the hell people are saying. If in Africa they might be speaking Afrikaans, you need to kidnap, once again, an interpreter to know what the hell's going on. And that's kind of cool. So if you do an interrogation and you don't have an interpreter, yeah, you're screwed. You don't know what the hell they're saying. All the guns sound pretty unique. The tranquilizer has that unique achoo sound. Your dog barks, which is kind of fun. Guards will start talking about weird random stuff. And this is something I found kind of neat. Depending on how your tactics are, they'll talk about how you're approaching a mission. They'll be like, hey, did you hear this guy likes to come at night? So they gave us goggles. Or I hear he likes to kill us, so they gave us extra body armor, stuff like that. Or they'll reveal clues about the environment, or they'll talk about the storyline as it's progressing. And that's neat. I really, the world feels alive, and the audio that they do really helps kind of bring it alive, too. So let's talk about multiplayer / extras. I want to talk firstly about the FOB, and you get something called a forward operating base, which ties into the mother base game that you play in the middle, which is like where you're managing the base and getting resources and the ability to research stuff, blah, blah, blah. The forward operating base is the online component to this. You don't need to use it, though it does help. You get one forward operating base for free, and this is where a lot of the paywall controversy came into it. You don't need to spend money to be successful in Metal Gear Solid 5. In fact, the microtransactions are frankly, and pardon my French, fucking stupid. You don't need them, because like I said, the game gives you one right off the hop. You can use that to make your army really, really, really powerful, really, really, really big. So you build different platforms. But the thing is, you can invade other people's bases, steal their money, steal their guys, and steal resources from them. But they can do the same thing to you, which is kind of neat. So if you can infiltrate the center of, say, their R&D platform, you can steal their best scientists. But you can also rescue your own guys back if they get kidnapped or something. You can retaliate. You can also build nukes, which I think makes you invulnerable to retaliation for a while or something like that. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to build a nuke because they're ludicrously expensive. But it's a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. Originally, the game had a lot of problems with it, where it wouldn't connect properly. But it is something fun to experiment with, especially since they give you one for free. Do not spend money on this. For the amount of money you have to spend to buy a forward operating base, it's not worth it. I spent $5 in Microsoft money just to try it out. Yeah, I didn't even have enough to do anything, because you have to buy a currency called Mother Base Coins. And to build a base is so expensive as to not make it worth it. It must cost like at least like $20 to do so. So I'm thinking, all right, well, that was a waste of $5. And I now have these coins I can't do anything with. So avoid that. There's also going to be Metal Gear Solid Online, which is a true PvP experience. Like, because currently the forward operating base is just PvE. You're playing against their base defenses. There's no real intelligence behind it. Although you can customize your base as to what kind of weapons they have, what kind of security you have in place, like drones, cameras, guns, whatever. And I think Metal Gear Online launches later on this year or very early next. Like, it's either next month or January. I'm not sure which. You can also import data from Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, which will give you like some extra people that you rescued. You can get Hideo Kojima as, like, I think someone in your R&D department, stuff like that. I don't think he can ever be killed. But yeah, there's a lot to this game. There's a lot to like. It really is. It's probably one of the best games I've played this year. Would I call it my game of the year? Definitely top three. And I have to see what else is coming out, like Halo and Star Wars and Call of Duty, to decide what my final game of the year is going to be. But if I had to name it right now, yeah, probably. It would be between this and Batman. Arkham Knight right now is in terms of my top games of the year so far. Is this game accessible to new fans of Metal Gear? Yes and no. It helps if you play Ground Zeroes. But the game explains enough through these back tapes for you to get what's going on, more or less. You'll just get more out of the experience if you know what's going on in terms of presentation anyway. But it's a fun game. Like I said, the fact that there's so much variety in how you approach missions is awesome. Now, minor spoiler, when you go into Chapter 2, and after you wrap up the main game, you can do versions of missions that may have these requirements on them, like get discovered, the mission's over, or extreme difficulty, or basically two or three shots and you're dead. Some of those are just annoying as shit. And they're there to, I would almost say, artificially pad the game in some ways. Like, I wish they'd given me more original content for missions. But like I said, you can tell stuff was cut from this. And in the collector's edition, you can see what it was and how much they got finished via cinematics. Now, I have the collector's edition. Why am I not reviewing it? Because I'm getting it for my birthday from my in-laws. So, I don't know what's in the collector's edition per se, because I don't have it yet. So, maybe later on for the prototype or something? But anyway, a lot of rads coming up. I'm working on Mad Max. I'm probably about halfway done that. I got LEGO Dimensions I'm working on. I'm working on Destiny, the Taken King on Xbox One, which I'm always looking for people to do raids. I really want to do the old raids and the new one. So, at Birdman Twig on Xbox Live, just let me know that you want to play. And, yeah. It's going to be a lot of stuff, guys, coming up in the next few weeks. It's going to be a lot of video gaming, and I'm really looking forward to it. So, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodds, and live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again later on this week, right here on ReviewAday.ca.